1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Critical aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan signed and sealed by President Biden today. The Senate and House passed the $95 billion funding package after months of wrangling. It's packed with nearly $61 billion of aid to help Ukraine fight against Russian attacks, with $1 billion already approved today.
In the next few hours, literally the few hours, we're going to begin sending in equipment to Ukraine for air defense munitions, for artillery, for rocket systems, and armored vehicles.
Also approved a measure giving the Chinese-owned company of TikTok a year to sell to a U.S. company or face a ban due to national security and privacy concerns. TikTok CEO Shou Chu vowing to sue.
Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice.
Abortion access front and center this election year. The Supreme Court hearing arguments today over Idaho's strict abortion ban and whether doctors can perform emergency abortions. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Use of restraints and seclusion in Wisconsin schools went down about 8% last school year. That's according to the State Department of Public Instruction. The DPI's Tim Pirenboom says it happens most with elementary schoolers with disabilities.
Frequent use of seclusion restraint is usually a symptom of larger, more systemic issues, whether that's staffing shortages or lack of proper training for staff members who work with our highest needs students.
Pirenboom says most schools report no cases of using seclusion or restraint. Saturday is Drug Take-Back Day in Wisconsin. Law enforcement leaders and health officials are trying to raise awareness about opioids. People can drop off their unused medications at 135 places around the state. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. A Madison firefighter faces four felony drug trafficking charges. Police say Trevor Wiggins sold cocaine up till early this month out of his home, a Quick Trip, and even the South Point Road fire station where he worked. A search of Wiggins' home a few days ago turned up guns and other drugs. Wiggins is on administrative leave while the fire department conducts an internal investigation. Wiggins is free on a signature bond. He's due in court on May 6th. Online retail giant Amazon is now delivering groceries to homes in the Madison area. The subscription service for Prime members costs about $10 a month and half that for people on public assistance. The subscription comes with unlimited delivery on orders over $35 from Whole Foods Market, Amazon Fresh, and some other local stores. Amazon first started delivering groceries to Prime members in Columbus, Ohio, Denver, and Sacramento late last year. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pacers beat the Bucks 125-108. The series now tied one game apiece. On Sunday, the Bucks dominated Indiana. What was the difference? Doc Rivers.
They said we couldn't play defense. We did that in the first game. They said they couldn't play defense. They did that in the second game. I thought it was more our offense versus their defense than the other way. And I thought that bled over to the defense. So I thought it was more our offense tonight.
Pacers guard Tyrese Halliburton is a native of Oshkosh, but says his family was mistreated in Milwaukee.
You know, this has been my little brother in the stands the other day was, called the N-word. And so, like, it was important for us as a family, like, to just address that. And that was important for us to talk about, because that just didn't, you know, that didn't sit right with anybody in our, in our family.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A super sunny day with highs in the 50s. It may be a touch cooler out there, but those winds are calm. With a high pressure system overhead, we stay bright and beautiful tomorrow too, with highs climbing to the 60s. Soak it up because we have a wet weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. Add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude and you make it the greatest radio show ever. Dom returns to the airwaves Wednesday. No court for Trump, but plenty of politics. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Our standing producer, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is on the board taking your phone calls as well this hour, 855-752-4842. We are high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, on what is a sunny day outside, Mr. Zommers, but some heavy news as we bring you today on the show. Not exactly. It is hump day.
It's still hump day. The camel's still here, whether it's heavy or not.
Whether it's a heavy news day or not, the camel is still there, and we appreciate that little bit of levity. But let's get right into it, because our guests this hour, as per usual on Wednesday, we appreciate them both making time, joining us from Lake Wissota in beautiful northern Wisconsin, host of Up North News Radio. Every morning from 6 until 8, the one, the only, Pat Kreitlow, and joining us from our nation's capital, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a former Republican like myself, Trygve Olson. Gentlemen, we appreciate you both joining us today. I want to start
and
off...
we appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be appreciated.
Right back at you.
Here's the scoop for those that might not have been listening yesterday. I took a little drive out to beautiful southwest Wisconsin with a dear friend of mine, and back in, not close to the old hometown, just about 12 miles south of Richland Center, the village of Muscatine, not Muscoda, but Muscatine, home of the Morel Mushroom Festival. But last night, the Cradwell Building, the town hall in Muscatine, hosted a public, underscore that word, public forum last night. It was hosted by Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat, who represents the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the flagship amongst other areas in the Madison area, and also Representative Katrina Shankland, who represents the Stevens Point area, including the University of Stevens Point, which Trygve and I were at just a couple of weeks ago. The purpose of the meeting, these two individuals, these two legislators, one from the Senate, one from the Assembly, each sit on their respective committees, which oversee the UW system, higher education in the state of Wisconsin. And they held a public forum last night in Muscatine between what was UW Richland and UW Platteville, in closer down to the kind of southwest border with Illinois and Iowa down there, for those that are not familiar. And the purpose was to focus on what could be done economically and recovery-wise to help the Richland County area as they go through this closure of the UW campus made possible by the president of the UW system, Jay Rothman, last year. And also, what, in a positive way, how can we address this larger issue of higher education in the state of Wisconsin? It was a great forum. It was not just all Democrats. There were Republicans there. It was civil discourse, believe it or not. About 100 people show up in this little tiny village of Muscatine. to talk about the importance of higher education. By the way, in hour two, Senator Keller Royce will join us live on this program at 1:30, as will Richland County Board Chairman David Turk in the 1 o'clock hour as well. When we got home, or I got home, and my colleague Joanne Krulatz, the news director at WRCO and WRCE, sent me a email that she got from the Richland County Administrator's Office of Board Chairman. And attached to it was a letter from Jeff Barrant, the Vice President of University Relations. Not from Rothman, but from Barrant, the Vice President. And we'll put this up on the show page. We've got it. I've got it here in front of me in my hot little hands, as they say. I will summarize it to this. The Richland County Board, while this meeting was going on last night, was informed that the University of Wisconsin system, now known as the Universities of Wisconsin, are pulling out of negotiations with the county board on how to, because there's a lease agreement, you see, with the county and the university. And they're pulling out of negotiations on breaking this lease agreement and leaving the local county elected officials holding the bag. And in this letter from Barrant, the UW system says, well, you know, you're getting $2 million from the legislature to help you recover, which, of course, is a pittance compared to the $6 to $7 million approximately on economic impact that campus had on that community. Richland County, one of the poorest counties in the state, economically challenged, and they're left to try to clean this mess up with no money. To me, it strikes of political and bureaucratic and taxpayer malfeasance, and yes, I know exactly what that word means. And I hope it gets Jay Rothman's attention because he's an attorney. Pat Kreitlow, you have been a state senator on the Democratic side. You have represented college towns up there. Both you and Trigby graduates of UW-Eau Claire. What is your knee-jerk reaction to this?
And further disclaimer, Jeff Barrant was one of my top staffers. He was essentially my liaison to the press and to local governments. And so I actually have a soft spot for the position that he has been put in. It actually, my first reaction was, why is this letter coming from Jeff Barrant? I mean, this is a big decision, and I'm not negating in any way or diminishing the office of vice president, but where's Jay Rothman? I know I've asked you this question before. Where is he? And why are you delegating something like this, which is on par with the 1970s New York Daily News headline, Ford to City, Drop Dead, which is certainly the way that you are making this sound. I will again add that you are much more knowledgeable about the situation than I am. I have been very critical of all parties, that we've known for decades where things were going demographically, and that there's never been a truly cohesive plan for all these 13 two-year center campuses, and there's still not. But from what you're describing as the universities of Wisconsin, essentially taking their marbles, going home and saying, hey, it's all on you guys, do whatever you want, strikes me as, well, I have questions. It's really, and I unfortunately don't think Jay Rothman is going to call in and answer those questions for you and me.
But we've offered when Jeff Barrant was out at a supposedly a town hall forum where well over 100 people showed up, the senator that represents that area, Republican Howard Markline, who happens to be the Joint Finance Committee chair, and Tony Kurtz, who is also on the JFC committee, who represents Richland Center Republican. We've invited both of them on the show multiple times. They refuse. I talked to Jeff Barrant personally. And look, when Jeff was working for, after you, but when he was working for Bob Jalkas as chief of staff, as a Democrat, I was working for Dale Schultz, a Republican. We worked together a lot on legislation to help save mining and take on the Walker administration. And I'm like, Jeff, you know, what's going on? He refused to talk to me. I invited him on this show. I said, have President Rothman. We'd love to have him on I won't interrupt him. They refused to come on this show. They refused to answer questions. And one of the biggest questions I have, and others in Richland County, is we keep hearing this false narrative, Trigby Olson. You talk about narratives all the time. This narrative that is all due to low enrollment. When the fact of the matter is that the foundation, the private foundation, Richland Center, offered $600,000 cash out of their approximately $3 million cash on hand to the University of Wisconsin to hire a recruiter specifically for Richland, and they were told they could not do it with private money. And when you don't recruit, guess what? You have low enrollment. Trigby, we were just in Eau Claire and Stevens Point a couple of weeks ago. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think one of the things that we learned, right, when we were at Eau Claire, the chancellor there said, is it Barron County?
Correct.
It's profitable. Like, it's thriving, right? So it isn't like these 2 years can't thrive if given the opportunity to do that. I think part of the issue is, and some of this is not just a Wisconsin thing. It just is what it is. You know, you've got a lot of people living in ivory towers, or in the case of UW's system, Jay Rothman and his people, kind of ugly towers. I just think they're tone deaf to the reality that sitting on the isthmus, on the UW campus, the challenges that they face on a daily basis are very different than what the people that they're supposed to be to a degree representing who are attending campuses like UW-Richland Center are facing. There's just a disconnect there.
Go ahead, Pat.
I agree there, although, and again, you can accuse me of injecting partisan politics into this. Go ahead. I think that there's more than just a disconnect to each of the communities. I think there's too much of a connection, or one would say fear, of what the Republican-controlled legislature would do if they don't do exactly what they hired Jay Rothman to do, or not hired, but, you know, influenced to do. And that is to bring this corporate mentality and to, you know, hack away in as much a machete-like style as possible, rather than have those communications and look for ways to repurpose these centers in ways that are productive. It has, in my mind, again, I'm only speaking for myself, has always been about, you know, how do we make these cuts? How do we make them strategically? And if we can't make them strategically, you know what? So what? We're going to make them anyway, even if it looks like we're, kind of stumbling our way through this. And that's how it appears. It appears they're stumbling their way through this, but they're still getting what they want because they know that's where the political pressure is. Even with new legislative maps, you're looking at probably a slight Republican majority. And I think that fear, if you will, is what guides them to this day.
We're going to hear a cut from Kelda Royce, interesting Pat, a little bit later on. We're going to hear this cut from Kelda Royce. She's talked about fear last night at this public forum last night. I'm just shocked by how little coverage this is getting. I'm shocked by the kind of blasé, laissez-faire attitude of this by most media outlets and politicians. I mean, thank God for Representative Katrina Shanklin and Senator Kelda Royce for coming out to little old Muscogee to have a public hearing on this. Where are the Republicans that actually represent that area? And here's the reason this is a statewide show issue. Because this, my friends, what has been visited upon Richland County is coming to you in Barron County. It's coming to you in Marathon County. It's coming to you in Waukesha County if you don't raise hell and get your legislators and your media involved. And I'm sick of this laissez-faire attitude on both sides. Where's the Democratic leadership in the legislature? Where's the governor on this? Where is anybody from the Republican side? Pat?
that's what we call a rhetorical question there, Todd, because I can't even dream of having an answer for you. I would, again, just go back to what I said earlier about the lack of long-range planning for a host of reasons.
All right. Well, Pat, appreciate it.
The governor on this one should be leading.
We're going to talk more about it. Pat Kreitler, thank you so much. Listen to Pat every morning, 6 until 8 a.m. He's never been so glad to get out of a segment. We'll come back and trick me after this.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Make Music Madison chapter is one of the oldest in the U.S. The free music event happens on the summer solstice, June 21st. And in 2023, the Madison chapter also set a record for the most musicians and shows, 700. Here's Make Music Madison director, Mary Rose Eckberg.
We had the largest, the most number of events, the most number of performances of any chapter in the United States. So we'll see if we can top that this year.
Registration is open now, and you can take part by playing or hosting a show or simply supporting those who do. But there's a deadline, too.
June 1st is the deadline for registration officially.
Learn more and sign up at the website makemusicmadison.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and trying to have fun doing it, although today is a little bit difficult. 20 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Welcome back to the program. Appreciate Pat Kreitlow joining us here. Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, continues on for the rest of the hour. We appreciate you talking about this forum last night in Muscatine, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, with Senator Keller Royce and Representative Katrina Shanklin holding a public Trigvy, where legislators come out and they spend 4 or 5 minutes telling you their position and why they're there. And then they shut up and actually listen and stand in front of a room for an hour and take citizen questions and answer every one of them. I know that's a novel idea for a lot of politicians today, but Shanklin and Royce did it last night.
I mean, that comes with risk. There's better to be risk averse. I just think it's incrementalism what they're doing. You know, there's a little bit. I mean, that's how you do these things.
Yeah,
come for Richland Center, and you think no one's going to pay attention, and it's kind of your point. But I do think. I mean, Pat. I think Pat is right that there is an agenda. And these people are apparatchiks implementing the agenda to some degree. But I also think there's been just a total lack of leadership, not a total lack of leadership, but there needs to be, and we talked about this while we were on tour, a reignition of those who care about the Wisconsin idea coming to the fore on this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And to set this up again, this letter that was sent from the UW system from Vice President of University Relations Jeff Baran to the Richland County Board, and the subsequent release by the county, it says this, quote, "Richland County is dismayed and disheartened to share the correspondence received the universities of Wisconsin today despite ongoing attempts to negotiate a mutually agreeable end to our partnership. The University of Wisconsin has made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the Richland County campus by July 1st, 2024, with no compensation or settlement agreement in place." And it goes on from there. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Off Facebook, I believe we have Bev, who was at the event last night. There we are. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. Bev, watching on Facebook, says, "A well-coordinated collusion to destroy the Wisconsin idea and create an uneducated voter bloc." Also, Linda, watching on Facebook, says, "As a past BU, meaning University of Wisconsin Baraboo student, I find all this reprehensible. Fight back," unquote. And by the way, Baraboo, which was unique in that it was, most of these are county and state-owned. In Baraboo, it's county, city, and state-owned. And Baraboo, the county just put, or Sauk County, rather, just put in over $300,000 of taxpayer for the next 2 years to help keep that campus going. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Kenneth, listening to us in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Kenneth, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, I would just like to weigh in as well. I'm an original attendee of the Richland campus when it opened in 1967. I graduated from Webb High in Reedsburg in 1967. They opened up, at that time, the branch of the Prattville State University, and the excitement was palatable in those days. It was like, holy cow, there's a chance for us poor farm kids to go locally. We could go 2 years to Richland Center, and then we could go to Prattville automatically. I ended up going to UW-Madison. They actually merged in the time that I was in school. But nonetheless, in 1970, you know, 50 years ago, 1967, 50 plus years ago, the population was less than it is now. I find it very hard to believe that there isn't a student population that would be available that would like to attend, you know, inexpensively and with the opportunity to then go on to either any of the four-year campuses. It just,
yeah.
I don't know what the hell they've been doing for the last 50 years.
It's a great point, Kenneth. And again, yeah, really, really appreciate you taking the time to call. And thank you for listening, Kenneth. And Trivia, I think this is what burns me partly the most as an alum of UW-Richland and UW-Platteville. It's that if there had been a full-time, there was a full-time recruiter for years, John Poole, an icon in Richland County, Southwest Wisconsin. And what he did is not just be there on campus during working hours and help you schedule your classes and nurture you as a student. He would go out to the little tiny places like Wazika and North Crawford and Kickapoo and Ithaca at night during their career and job fairs. And he didn't just stand behind or sit behind a table. He would stand out in the aisle. And as people came by and say, oh, hey, that's a cool shirt. Hey, what are your plans next year? Where are you going? Well, I'm not sure. Well, have you ever thought about going to Richland? Yeah, I probably can't afford it. Well, here, come over here. Let me show you how you can. I mean, he was universe. Here's the thing, Trevi, you know, and we heard this on our tour at Eau Claire and Stevens Point. But I think a lot of our legislators and people in charge of our university missed today. Higher education, as it turns out, is a people business. You can't just sit behind a desk and push pencils and a keyboard. You have to be out there and engage. And I think we have lost, to a large degree, the engagement when it comes to university leadership and our legislators.
I think on the political level, that's true. I mean, I think we saw when we were at Eau Claire or Stevens Point, right? Maybe we didn't get to see on the La Crosse campus, but unfortunately. But what you saw was, like, you're right. I mean, education is a human endeavor, right? Like, ultimately, it's humans passing knowledge on to other humans. But there has to be a recruitment element. I think, you know, what was the thing that with Jim Schmidt, like, we came away so impressed with? That guy's right. A cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right? I can't say this. I mean, I feel like a broken record when I come on your show, Todd, because I say this all the time, right? We need more cheerleaders for the state of Wisconsin and its people and what it can be. People who, a positive attitude gets you a long ways. And think about it, you know, Tommy Thompson with this whole, isn't it great to be from Wisconsin and, you know, we're better than Minnesota. They may have 10,000 lakes, but we have 15,000 and every one of them has fish in them. There was an optimism to it. Mm-hmm. That optimism got stripped away. And quite frankly, it got stripped away for the personal and political ambitions of a former governor, right? Who, you know, wanted to be president, Scott Walker. But that assault on the university system, really from the right, I think, in some ways, for some of them, it's an ideological thing.
Yes.
More than anything else. And Richland Center is just a casualty. And, you know, but I disagree with Pat. Where's the governor? He's supposed to be the education governor. Why is he not out in Richland Center raising the roof?
Yeah.
Where is he? What is he doing? The thing that he bakes all the time? Doesn't he have like a cooking thing? So there's some kind of, I don't know.
That was the chancellor at La Crosse. But
no, yeah, La Crosse, no. But like, what is Tony Evers doing? What does he do?
On this subject, I...
What is he doing today? Why is he not waking up and saying, I do to make Wisconsin's life better for people in Wisconsin?
You and I know this.
If I were governor, I'd wake up every day. What can I do to make things better? What one thing? And you have power to do it. Get off your keister, man.
We'll come back, discuss it more with Trigby Olson, also Teresa from Lodi on the phone lines up next. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday, 855-752-4842. Join us after this. Don't go anywhere on Civic Media.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
From marketing your agribusiness to doing your schoolwork, broadband is no longer a luxury, it's a requirement. Bringing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin has been a focus at the state and federal level, but rural providers want to see it continue. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, talking with Darren Moser. He's the CEO of Marquette Adams Telephone Cooperative. They've benefited from grant dollars to get internet service into more than 3,000 homes. Darren says the grants have been crucial and have brought success to rural communities.
Farmers are using a lot of our fiber for video monitoring and monitoring of their facilities and their structures. Students are learning they can do work from home and homeschool. Mom and pops are learning they can actually start advertising a home business on the internet and do things like that. So a lot of things are starting to develop from this. Esports is beginning to really take off as well. You know, these locations, you know, they want access to the same information that everybody else does, and by having a high-speed internet there, it's going to allow them that access and allow them to do the things that they can't do without it.
Darren Moser along with us, CEO of Marquette Adams Telephone Cooperative, advocating for continued support of broadband expansion in Wisconsin. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets coming up.
Research, promotion, and education, that's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yep, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org.
Wednesday from Chicago, cash corn is trading down a penny and a quarter at 441 and three quarters. December new crop corn is up a quarter of a cent at 475 a bushel. Cash beans are up a nickel and a half at 1173 in a bushel. November new crop soybeans are up 3 cents at 1177. July new crop wheat is trading up a nickel and a quarter at 608 a bushel. The Class 3 milk contracts are falling. The May contract is down 48 cents at 1765 a hundredweight. The June contract is down 41 cents at 1781. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A super sunny day with highs in the 50s. It may be a touch cooler out there, but those winds are calm. With a high pressure system overhead, we stay bright and beautiful tomorrow too, with highs climbing to the 60s. Soak it up because we have a wet weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
In her next episode, Maggie addresses all the debauchery coming out of the Trump trial. Sleeping? Farting? What else could happen live?
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
For
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Glad to have you along with us. As per usual, on a Wednesday, we have our friend Tryngve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, emphasis on former, joins us every Wednesday. We always appreciate it. Thank you, Tryngve. Talking about this story, was out at Muscatine last night, a little village in southwest Wisconsin, just below Richland County, across the river, as a matter of fact. And Senator Kelda Royce and Representative Katrina Shanklin, Democrats both, had the chutzpah, the leadership, the courage to come out and face the public. When the Republican legislators, Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz, that represent Richland County, just have kind of stopped showing up. And Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin took time to come and listen, answer questions, and talk about the future of the universities of Wisconsin or UW system, talk about the impact to Richland County and what can be done. And as that meeting was occurring, Jeff Barrant, the vice president of university relations at UW system, sent a letter to the Richland County Board of Supervisors saying that they were going to pull out entirely of their lease agreement with the county and leave the county holding the financial bag with this $2 million pittance that the state approved, which of course does not offset the $7 to $8 million economic impact annually from the tier campus of the community. And we'll have, coming up in the next hour, we have Dave Turk, who is the Richland County Board Chair, and we also have Senator Kelda Royce, who was at this meeting last night, get her comments on the meeting, and also this new news that happened overnight of the UW system saying they're pulling out of Richland County entirely, leaving the taxpayers holding the bag. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Teresa, listening in Lodi. Teresa, thanks for holding. Let's see.
Thanks for having me on. I have seen this playbook many times. So when administrators want to get rid of a program or an instructor, they play it out. So it's Richland Center is losing money. All they have to do is remove programs, the most popular programs, and put programs there that the students are not interested in, and the enrollment will just keep declining and declining and declining. Even if you have a recruiter, but you don't have programs that are viable to recruit into, you will see how quickly the enrollment falls and how quickly you begin to lose money. It could have been fixed, is what I'm...
Yeah.
My opinion.
And I agree with you, Teresa. And the lack of engagement from UW system with the local community is what really boils me. The fact that Jay Rothman never once, and I checked with the county board chair today, to this day, Jay Rothman has never set foot in Richland County that we know of or met with anybody locally to answer these questions. Nobody from the main campus of UW-Platteville is willing to sit down and answer these questions thoughtfully. And that's, I just want, I think a lot of folks there, being my hometown, just be honest. Like, if you're saying that the Wisconsin... go ahead.
They don't care. Right. They don't care how it affects the people or, you know, what they're doing. They have their mission, and their mission was to close down the campus, and that is their focus, and everyone should just get out of their way and fold.
Yeah.
They just don't care. They have no accountability with our gerrymandered maps. It's our legislators, they don't care. Yeah. They're going to get votes.
But see, this
they're not going to get voted back in this time.
here's the thing, though. This is where they're being let down. And this is why we're being critical. We were asked by somebody why I was being a little critical of the governor. The governor has the biggest bully pulpit in the state. He could be speaking out about this. He could be going to Richland Center to say, I'm going to find out what's going on here. He appointed most of the Board of Regents. That's where, honestly, having worked for Tommy Thompson, every once in a while, things would get his dander up, and he would literally storm out of the office, get in the car to go to Muscadet and be like, what's going on here? Yeah. Right? Like,
have you tried literally. Reaching out to the governor?
Yes.
Not my job.
We have sent an official email from this show. Mr. Zomers has sent it to the governor's office asking him to come on this program. Not only did we get a no, we've gotten ghosted. We got a no reply.
We got no reply.
We got no reply. And we're going to play a cut here from former Republican State Senator Dale Schultz, my former boss that represented the area for years. And he brings this up. And he attacks his former Republican colleagues, saying they're malfeasance, I believe is the word he used, or malpractice. But he also went on to say, as Trigvy was saying, look, where's the governor on this? Where's the Democratic leadership? I mean, thank God we have Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin and the other three Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee. But other than those individuals, we've heard basically nothing from the legislature from either side of the aisle on this.
You should ask your listeners to call the governor's office.
We welcome it.
And tell them exactly this. I think that would help a lot.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, yeah. Teresa.
I think the only conclusion that you can reach with the governor until he ends up speaking out is that he tacitly supports this and doesn't, or he's just completely disengaged. But he claims to have been the education governor. I think that's the only conclusion you can draw. And I wish he would come on the show to correct the record if I'm wrong.
You can call the governor, 608-266-1212. 608-266-1212. And as we always do, remind you, whether it's Republican or Democratic, be respectful to people that answer the phone because they're simply staff. They didn't make these decisions. So don't yell, don't swear. Just say, hey, this is where I'm from. This is my address. This is my phone number. And this is what I think. 608-266-1212.
And if you'd rather send an email, head over to evers.wi.gov. There's a form on there. If you just look around in like the contact area, you'll find it. And I would give you an email, but they don't have it. They just have a form to fill out.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Going to go to Gene and Eau Claire in a minute. But Mr. Zomers, let's play this cut. Speaking to the governor a couple of months ago. I believe this is when Fond du Lac got shut down.
Sounds right.
Yeah, when the third out of the five got shut down. And the reporter finally asked the question to Governor Evers on these 2 years. This is what the governor had to say.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Okay, ask the people of Richland County if they think that Jay is doing the best job possible. Again, if the best job, whether you like the result or not, isn't the point. The best job is going and facing politicians or facing constituents like Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin did last night. Like Jim Doyle, a Democratic governor, and Tommy Thompson, a Republican governor, did in the past. 855-752-4842. Gene, you know what, go ahead, Trigvy.
Todd, strategically, one of the things that people who care about this issue and in the other place, quite frankly, I think they need to be doing is, and I know this sounds counterintuitive because it's state government, they need to be reaching out to Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah.
And raising the issue.
Yeah.
That's really who they need to go to. Because she is somebody who leads, and she is somebody who's on the ballot soon. Not that she wouldn't lead anyway, because she does. But that's the kind of person that the people from the two-year campuses, and they are connected because federal student aid and whatever else. Because unlike the governor, she probably will lead.
And she's been on this show before, by the way. 855-752-4842. Gene calling from Eau Claire, home of UW Eau Claire, Trigvy's alma mater. Gene, what say you?
Hi, guys. Good job today. Just got to say, though, why don't you instruct them to call Ron Johnson from Wisconsin? Maybe he'll give you guys a whole bunch of help. Maybe you should
call. Well, you need to speak Russian, Gene, if you're calling Ron Johnson. Although I guess I could call Ron Johnson if you want me to relay a message.
Well, I think you should. Maybe he'll take your call because he never takes mine, but I'll call him all the time and leave him a nice message.
I don't think
message.
He would take my call. Just I could give him some Russian.
Okay. I know all this Russian thing, but we got Alec. You know, we got all those people that are pulling the strings from behind the curtain, and it's just alarming to me. But I gotta say something for Governor Evers. I've called the office on lots of issues. issues. And he does pay attention to phone calls. If you leave a message, he may not get back to you, but he's working on it. He's doing things all the time. And remember, it was a gal dang idiot Republicans with Scotty Walker that changed his ability to do things like previous governors used to do. So, like, I mean, I see him working all the time. I'm following him, you know, what he's doing live, you know, at different cities and things like that. But I understand that we need a lot of voices, and we need a lot of voices calling those Republicans to get those purse strings open instead of worrying about giving big money back to the donors. You know, it's like money in and money out. We'll take money from universities, and I'll give you big tax cuts. Mm-hmm. And then the privatization, too, of our universities is a real concern. So call anybody and everybody and have your voice heard, because it's very, very important. And thank you guys for covering this. And I'll be calling Governor Evers' office again. So you guys have a good day, and thank you for the information. Bye. Yeah.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, Gene.
Thank you.
And look, as a former Republican myself for 30 years, left the party in 2011, I voted for Tony Evers every time, including, by the way, the primary, the Democratic primary. Because I thought, look, here's a guy who seems reasonable, who is reasonable, I think, and is a good leader. And he got elected 3 times state school superintendent. I have voted for him. I continue to support him. Yeah, on most things, like, he is doing a good job. I mean,
who did Evers beat in that primary?
Kathleen Vinehout and one of our guests coming up, Kelda Royce. And Matt Flynn, our colleague. Matt Flynn was also in that
there
primary.
You go.
But look, if not for Tony Evers' veto pen, we would legislatively, politically be Texas and Florida. So I think Tony has done
I don't disagree with that completely.
But if we don't call it out, if we don't call it honestly, yeah. I mean, our motto is pursuing truth wherever it might lead. This is a little uncomfortable where it leads to, but we have to call it out.
Here's the thing, is, you know, Todd, I mean, at the Lincoln Project, we invested quite a bit of money in Tony Evers' race because mm-hmm. Tim Michaels was, you know, an election denier who was claiming his party would never lose another race again. So, you know, we invested millions of dollars helping Tony Evers. That said, I've never been able to quite figure out him as a politician.
Right.
I think policy-wise, mostly he's good. But there also is a time in that job where simply providing the moral clarity and leading between right and wrong, or providing comfort to people that are going to have to go through a hard time. You know, you listen to that clip. Here's the thing. I just think he knew that this is coming, and it's the latter. He's not saying or doing anything because he tacitly agrees that it has to be done. And quite frankly, you know, that's unfortunate.
Here's my point.
It's the same reason Jay Rothman sends Pat's old flack to Jeff, who I do not know.
Well, I know
I'm
him.
Too old. But that's why you do it.
Right. And speaking of that, let's go to the YouTube comments here. Andrew from Maine in the YouTube comment brought this up. Thank you, Mr. Sommers. Quote, if they close all the higher education facilities, who do these overpaid bureaucrats and politicians think they will hire to build their next house or work in their various businesses, unquote. Which I think is fantastic. This brings up a great point. Overpriced bureaucrats. Trigby, do you know how much the governor of the state of Wisconsin is paid annually?
I don't know, probably $200,000.
That would be a good guess.
Plus perks.
Tony Evers, as of 2023, his state set salary is $152,756.
Plus he gets a house.
$153,000. Plus he gets a nice house and a driver. Okay?
And a boat.
Now, do you think that a bureaucrat, the vice president of UW system, Jeff Brandt, do you think he should make more than the governor or less than the governor?
Well, I suspect he is probably closer to the $300,000 range.
$203,000 a year. $203,000 a year. The guy who sent the letter last night to Richland County closing down the campus paid $200,000 plus of your tax money. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Bowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Trigby Olson, the senior advisor at Lincoln Project, in with us on a Wednesday. Mr. Zahmer is on the board taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Glad to have you along talking about this decision by the Universities of Wisconsin, better known as the UW System, to completely withdraw. According to the letter from the county board, Richland County Board, the chair of whom, David Turk, will be on this show live next hour. This says here, despite ongoing attempts to negotiate a mutually agreeable end to our partnership with the Universities of Wisconsin, has made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the Richland County campus by July 1 of this year with no compensation or settlement in place, unquote. Talking before the break, The person that sent the letter informing Richland County of this, Jeff Barrant, vice president for university relations, who before being vice president a year and a half ago was the associate vice president and being paid about $150,000 a year. And a year and a half later, you take away the word associate and his salary, according to online data here, public information, $202,875. Why in the hell should a political appointee bureaucrat like Jeff Barrant make over $200,000 a year? And he doesn't even do his job well, by the way. His job is to inform the legislature. And I have witnesses, Howard Markline, the Republican co-chair of Joint Finance, and Tony Kurtz told me to my face that Barrant never informed them of the closure of the Richland campus until the night before Rothman announced it. I mean, that's just that's doing your job extraordinarily poorly. Also, you got beaten in the bushes by Robin Voss over the DEI stuff. He can't even do his job well. And who suffers? The earnest and good people of Richland County. The taxpayers of Richland County, who are already struggling to make ends meet, and now the system pulls out with no compensation, breaks the deal, and I hope to God that they sue these people. I hope that they sue everybody possible and take them and tie them up in court because Jay Rothman, the former head of Foley & Lardner, he's a big-time attorney, and really the only thing he apparently seems to understand is the court system. Am I wrong, Trigby?
Well, the best way to get a lawyer's attention is litigation. I have discovered that over the course of, yeah, so you might be right on that. You may be on to something.
You'll see. Off the text line, Steve from Milwaukee says he might not even know about this. Speaking of Governor Evers, he might not even know about this that yet. Just saying Evers usually is on top of this type of stuff. And that's the point. That's the point. He usually is. And this is why this is so bizarre that he has almost no comment on it. Anything else here on the text line, Mr. Zahmer, we need to get to here? Let's see. Here's somebody calling from Waukesha saying, just cutting UW Waukesha, how about streamlining college? Get in and out faster. Get rid of ridiculous prerequisites. Show teens get into college, take the courses you need to get
to then get working and get on with your life.
Yeah.
And talking about remote instruction.
I mean, those are all fine ideas, but we have to first fund the university system properly, which Republicans have refused to do, despite, as Katrina Shanklin pointed out last night, over $3 billion in a state surplus. But it's not just about money. I'm going to ask Senator Royce in the next hour, how about having the Fiscal Bureau, or having the Audit Bureau, rather, do a top-to-bottom audit of the University of Wisconsin system? I mean, we could get rid of Brandt right there. Find somebody to do the job for $75,000. How many times do you have to repeat that? And pretty soon, guess what? You're into the millions of dollars in savings.
We also have a comment on Facebook from Bev in Richland Center that we answered over one of the breaks, but I think it's important that we talk about it on air, too.
Says, so you played into the Republicans' hands by trying to blame some of this on the governor. I think the answer is no, Trevi.
No. We're just calling it as we see it. The governor needs to lead on this. And quite frankly, Todd says this every time we go on the show, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. We're going to speak the truth about either side. You know, I think, you know, I get for people who are partisans, you know, it's easy red meat to throw out one side bad, other side always good. But the reality is these guys are human. And, you know, he could be doing more. The governor could be doing more. And I would say the only thing that would explain him not is politicians, when they don't want to do hard things, find lackeys to do it for them, which is the whole reason why Jay Rothman didn't show up at the meeting. He sent somebody else and he didn't sign the letter. Right, Todd? Right.
Exactly. No, it didn't. Jay Rothman did not sign the letter. It came from
Jeff. And I've worked for enough politicians, quite frankly, where I've had to be the bad guy. You know, I've even worked for politicians who would want to say, your job is to say no, my job is to say yes.
Right? I've heard that before.
It's a favorite.
All right. It absolutely, and believe me, there. I harp on the Republicans. I'll continue to do that. We're going to do it the next hour as well. The lack of leadership by Howard Markline, by Tony Kurtz, by Robin Voss, and others.
Absolutely. They could be speaking out to Howard Markline is the one who, you know, he represents the area. What's Derek Van Odwin doing about this?
He is complaining about Ukrainian flags in the House of Representatives. That's what he's doing. Despite, of course, the flag of treason, the Confederate flag was marched through the halls on January 6th when Derek Van Odwin was there. Really?
You're in rare form today, Todd.
I'm a little fired up.
On your A game. Speaking of which, since we got 3 minutes left and you're on your A game, what should the Packers do in the draft?
Tomorrow night. Offensive linemen, we've got to protect Jordan Love. And what's going on there? I saw something online. People are complaining or saying something weird about it's time to move on from Jordan Love to this other dude.
Already?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's out of control.
Move on from Jordan Love.
I'm not
Jordan
making
Love.
Up.
Jordan Love threw more TD passes last season than Patrick Mahomes, and they want to move on from him. Well, it's because these Aaron Rodgers people.
That's a whole other kettle of fish, Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I have this helmet that, it's a long story, but I ended up with a helmet signed by Aaron Rodgers, and I was moving some stuff around in my office, and Ula said, I bet that's not worth even what you paid for it.
She's probably right.
And I'm like, what do you think? It was the suggestion that HIV was a conspiracy theory, or the being a Columbine shooting denier, or whatever it was.
Yeah, you could probably get something for it at a JFK Jr. rally. I'm not sure. Trevi Olson, always appreciate you. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned next. We have David Turk, Richland County Board Chair, and State Senator Kelda Royce. So the next hour, don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, and Brewers tickets. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.